to make sure this is working. Yeah. Tonight we'll tell you about Shatnez. Of course, last week we spoke about Key Lion, and Shatnez is a related mitzvah. But tonight we're going to get really deep and mystical, and so we're going to make Dr. Spindel happy. We're going to speak about a lot of Reb Tzavik. First of all, to begin with, so there's a very good book, which I just happened to discover yesterday, on mitzvahs in English. It's by a fellow by the name of Rabbi Avraham Chill. And the book is basically some summaries of reasons for the various different mitzvahs in Torah, all 613. It's a large book, and it's written very, very clearly. And here we see, I just want to show you a few of the reasons given by the Rishonim for the mitzvah of Shatnez. If you take a look on the second side of the first of the top, in the first page, you see the Rikanti. And the Rikanti is really the opinion we're going to focus on, but nonetheless, I want to see the other opinions in order to contrast them. The Rikanti, he associates the prohibition of the wearing of garments for a mixture of wool and linen with the story of Cain and Abel. According to this homily, linen, derived from a plant, represents the fruit of the ground offered up by Cain, while wool, which is derived from sheep, represents the firstlings of the flock, which Abel brought as his offering. God's acceptance of Abel's gift and his rejection of Cain's offering led to the first fratricide in the history of mankind. It would seem then that linen and wool symbolize two irreconcilable elements. Now, this is not just a Rikanti, this is brought down the Medrash Tanchuma and several other places, that the reason why Shatnez is forbidden is because Hevel brought a carbon from sheep, which have wool, whereas Cain brought a carbon from the fruit of the ground, and in fact there's a source brought down which is that says that he sacrificed flax seeds. That in fact was his carbon. Now we see that Hevel and Cain, Cain and Abel, they didn't get along too well together. So obviously we see that these type of personalities don't mix. And just as the personalities don't mix, so too the materials which they use, the wool of the sheep and the linen of the plants, don't mix either. We're forbidden to wear garments made of both wool and linen. Now, this seems a little bit simplistic. We're going to try and explain this a little bit better in the course of the evening. But in the meantime, let's see what the other Rishonim here say. The Das Kanim, which is from the Tosfos, says, the prohibition of wearing garments from a mixture of wool and linen is based on the fact that the curtain in the temple was woven from wool and linen, and it was forbidden to duplicate the furnishings of the temple for non-sacred use. Now, this is a pretty clear-cut reason. One should always have a certain separation from objects used in the Beis HaMikdash. One should not have a kind of easy, lax attitude towards them. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? In order that you should have the proper attitude of respect and awe towards objects which were to be found in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, do not use objects made out of the same material. Refrain from wool and linen mixed together. Now, Maimonides, the Rambam, and the Sfarnu say similar reasons to each other. Jews are forbidden to wear garments from a mixture of wool and linen because such garments were worn by pagan priests during their ritual functions. The Rambam writes somewhere, and we'll see later on, quote in the evening, by Reb Tzadik, this Rambam, that he found a book of the old pagan priests. And in them he found many practices which explain many mitzvahs. The Rambam said most of the mitzvahs of the Torah, bear this in mind, most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, according to the Rambam, were given in order to distance the Jewish people from the Avodah Zarah, which was prevalent and rampant in their day and age when the Torah was given. So a lot of the mitzvahs we don't fully understand today, like tattoos and not tearing out hair and stuff like that, all those kinds of mitzvahs are based in practices which the pagans had at that time, and we are forewarned from such practice in order to make sure that we don't fall prey to the same type of idolatry which they did. Okay? Similarly, the Sfarnu says, in pre-biblical days, it was customary for Jews to work and mate two different species and to wear garments of shatnez. When the Jews received the Torah, God wished to elevate them above their nomadic way of life by prohibiting these old customs which savored of paganism and were redolent of idolatry. Similar idea, in other words, that since Am Yisrael, in their previous life, which was one, of course, which was not in a very high level, they were accustomed to shatnez and to mating different types of animals. So therefore the Torah, in order to separate them from that way of life, when it made the Jewish people, gave them commandments which forbade this type of practice. Okay? These are basically the four Rishonim, or who speak their mind on the issue of shatnez. Now, the Michtam Elio comes along, and Michtam Elio is, of course, some 500 years later, and discusses the issue of the Rikanti. The Rikanti, who brought down the difference between Cain and the problem that Shatnez represents Cain and Evel, Cain and Abel, and their problems relating to each other, and of course the ultimate fratricide, the ultimate murder of Cain by Hevel. Rikanti was Reb Menachem Rikanti. He was a late Rishon, I think 14th century, who lived in Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia or somewhere like that. No, sorry, lived in Italy, and he was a Mekubal. A Kabbalist. Now, here, a lot of things, very times you'll find mentioned in the Ramban some Kabbalistic phrase, and the Rikanti explains that phrase in his book on Chumash, because he takes all the Kabbalistic stuff, the Ramban, and amplifies it. Besides that, he was also a big posek, but he's primarily known for his Kabbalistic tendencies. Now, the Michzim Eliyahu explains, we have two midos in Torah which are very basic to the human condition, the two most basic midos. Basically, everything in life is a conglomerate of various different nuances of these two midos, Gevura and Chesed. Now, before I define what actually Gevura and Chesed mean, I want to intentionally give you a broader definition. Broad definition is given by Rav Huttner several times in his Sfarim, that Gevura is contractive. Chesed is expansive. By that we mean somebody who has Gevura or is acting with Gevura contracts in a certain way, draws back. Somebody who has Chesed or acts in a way of Chesed spreads forth, expands. For instance, what is a good midah which has to do with Gevura? Strength or restraint. Strength means to bring all of oneself to bear. You know, when you do something with strength, you concentrate. You draw into yourself, you concentrate your power, you focus, and you do what you're doing. Similarly, restraint means to draw back and to separate. And that's why we have a famous Chazal which tells us, Ezu Gibar, Hakol Eshetzitza, somebody who restrains his Yetzirah. That's good Gvura, right? On the other hand, Chesed is expansive. When love and kindness are to expand towards another people, to include them and make oneself, so to speak, larger, not more focused, but more spread out. Now, there are flip sides of Gvura and Chesed. The flip sides of Gvura and Chesed, which are negative traits, are Kina and Taiva. Kina is jealousy, strife. What causes jealousy and strife? Not feeling that I'm one with another person. When am I jealous of another person? When am I not happy when things are going good for him? When I feel that I'm competing with him, that I'm separate from him. That's the bad aspect of Gvura. That's not Kovish, it's Yitzhak, using Gvura for restraint in restraining from Averos, but using Gvura in order to separate oneself from others. Separation has to do with the trait of Gvura. Drawing boundaries, restraints, dividing, being divisive, that's all Gvura. Chesed, on the other hand, also has a flip side, which is negative. Famous Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, a man should not have relations with his sister, Chesed Hu. What does Chesed Hu mean? Chesed Hu means, this is a bad Chesed. It's going too far being expansive. You're crossing boundaries which should not be crossed. Those are boundaries which we call Taiva. When one crosses the boundaries of Taiva, of lust, one is using the attribute of Chesed for a negative, say in a negative sense. Okay? So Chesed and Gvura are the good traits. When they're used to the good way, they're called Chesed and Gvura. Kina and Taiva are the same traits used in their negative sense. Now, we know in Pirkei Avos and in Kabbalah, these two traits are, culminate in a triangle. Chesed and Gvura culminate in Tif Eres. And Kina and Taiva culminate, what's the mission in Avos? Hakina v'ataiva v'ha? Kavod. Motzinas adamina olam. Right? Those two complete the triad. What does Tiferes mean? Tiferes means when a person uses Gevura and Chesed, both together mediates between the two and uses them properly in a conglomerate way. We'll see examples of that in a moment. On the other end, if when a person uses Kina and Taiva the quote-unquote right way, then a person ends up with Kavod. A person ends up with the ultimate degree of evil. The ultimate degree of evil which eradicates a person from the world is Kavod. What does Kavod mean? Kavod is in essence congruent with the term Gaiva. And both Gaiva, we know, a person who's haughty, a Kosh Baruch Hu says, me and him, we can't stay in the world together. So it's either me or him. Guess who goes? Not always. It's fact not always true. We know that a gaiva is doichek ragli ashchina. Sometimes the shchina leaves because of a person who's a baal gaiva. But what does a baal gaiva mean? Baal gaiva says, in essence, I'm important. I'm significant. I'm not subjugating myself to God's will. I will be jealous when I feel my purposes are at stake. I will be lustful when I feel that I need my drive to be filled. I am important. I take precedence over what God wanted. That's the ultimate kavod, the ultimate gaiva. Now, taking personalities in history, Avram represents to us the ultimate chesed. He was the person who was always questing to spread the word of God, to go and be loving to people, to go and show mercy and kindness to people. That's Avram Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was the ultimate expression of gvura, of, so to speak, being introverted, restrained, working within himself, being a person really concentrated and focused on his own personal growth from within, as opposed to going and spreading the word of God from without. If you want, you can call the difference between extroverted and introverted. That's a little bit oversimplifying. From Avram, there came a negative. Since Avram was involved so much in chesed, and he wasn't as restrained, perhaps, as one would have wanted with Gevurah, there was a flip side, a negative. He had a son, Ishmael. Ishmael is the progenitor of the Arabs, who are considered to be very lustful individuals. Right? Chazal tell us that Tisha Kabin's Nus, Asara Kabin's Nus Yordolam, 10 measures of lust came down to the world. Tisha Naklu Ishmaelim, 9 were taken by the Arabs. On the other hand, Yitzchak represents Gevurah. He had a negative offspring as well, Esav. Esav represents to us the power of murder, the power of kina. Because what causes one individual to murder another one? It's not lust. It's the exact opposite of lust. It's jealousy. Jealousy and strife, and that's Esav. And that's the flip side of Gvura, which is bad. Yaakov represented Tiferes. Yaakov didn't have any kids who went away from the proper derech. Why? Because Yaakov already knew how to mediate and use both traits. And since his gvura was checked by his chesed, and his chesed by his gvura, therefore Yaakov Avinu is called Bechira Avos, the highest, the elite of the Avos, and therefore his children, none of them came out bad, none of them came out off the proper derech. Now, going back to other personalities in this line of thought, another personality in this line of thought is Yehuda. Yehuda, from which came David. Reb Tzadok says, and we'll see it a little bit later this evening, Yehuda and David represent the attribute of chesed. David HaMelech always took pride in lo chasid ani, says Gemara Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am I not a chasid? And the old days before chasid means what chasid means today, chasid means somebody who was possessed with the midah of chesed. Somebody who would always do beyond the letter of the law, lifni mishur sadin. That was David HaMelech, and that came from Yehuda, and Yehuda, since he possessed that trait, was known by the Shvatim to be the leader among the Shvatim. He was picked to always lead. He was the one who went to deal with Yosef. Who, on the other hand, Yosef represents the Midah of Gevura among the Shvatim. That's why when Yosef was, that's why we call Yosef HaTzadik. HaTzadik is somebody who is constantly battling with his Yetzer Hara internally. And that, of course, comes from the Midah of Gevura, of Gibor HaKovesh Yitro. Bear that in mind, a Tzadik is somebody who is fighting with his Yetzara. A Chassid is somebody who, so to speak, has vanquished his Yetzara and is now going above and beyond. David HaMelech thought he was a Chassid. Wasn't so simple, because Baruch said, yeah, you think you're a Chassid? I'll send you Batsheva. Then you'll see what happens. And that indeed was a Chait of Taiva. Okay? Nonetheless, that was what Yehuda and David represented as opposed to Yosef. That's why it says, Reb Tzadok, we have a very interesting Gemara in Makos, the Michta Leo brings it down here, which tells us that in Gilad and Shechem there are a lot of murderers. Who lived in Gilad and Shechem? Menashe and Ephraim. Who are Menashe and Ephraim children of? Yosef. The trait of their father, which is restraint, can lead, if it's not checked by chesed, to jealousy and strife and lead to murder. Cain and Hevel were similar. Cain represented the trait of... I have it wrong on the board. Sorry. Should be the opposite. Cain and Pishdon should be under Yitzhak, Esav, and Yosef. And Hevel and Semer should be Avram, Yishmael, Yehud, and David. Sorry about that. In any event, because Hevel represents to us the trait of Semer, of wool, the trait of expansiveness. And we'll explain this a little bit later. Kain represents to us the trait of Pishdon, the trait of linen, which is the trait of strife, of jealousy, of Gvura. And we'll come and explain it later on, purposely leaving that unexplained.
What caused the kids to go off of on the wrong direction? I mean, they live around in a house with their parents.
The Ramban is terribly bothered by your question. The Ramban says, you're right. If they lived in a house in which the father was a Avram, or the father was a Yitzchak, how could the kids have gone off the derech? So the Ramban says, I have no other way to explain this except Kabbalistically. And to say that in mystically, if a person's midah is so strong and not held in checks and balances by another midah, there has to be a negative impact. And if there's a negative impact for some mystical reason, which I don't understand, but the Ramban seems to have understood, it will express itself in this world in terms of a child who goes off the derech with that trait which the father had. So the father could be a tremendous tzaddik, a tremendous chassid, a tremendous baal chesed, a tremendous baal yir shamayim. But if it's too far in one direction, then the son is going to represent the negative flip side of that midah. I can't answer your question rationally. I can only answer mystically.
Apparently, the way the Ramban is saying, it's better to have a little pagiba.
No, it's better to have a check. It's better to be Yaakov Avinu. It's better to be Yaakov Avinu. But besides that,
but he took both.
Right. It's better not to be completely in one direction. That's correct. Lemaisa, we don't have to worry about these things.
Okay.
But theoretically, that's what the Ramban is saying. Yeah.
I mean, how much then can we leave the pshat of the chumash? I mean, you know, there are obvious things. They're just literally reading it. You know, Sarah didn't exactly treat Yishmael very well. In Yitzchak's case, I mean, Rivka loved.
We don't know how to read chumash it's a good question. We don't know how to read chumash unless we read Medrash. In other words, the Chumash by itself is not readable. As readable a book as it might be, as big a bestseller as it might be, but it's not readable. We have to use Midrashim in order to interpret it. But it could be that in certain cases, Chazal criticize the Avos for things they did, and Chazal do criticize the Avos. Happens to be in that case they don't, as far as I know, with Sarah and Yishmael. But we should always look to the Midrashim to see if our interpretation of Chazal is our interpretation of the Chumash is correct or incorrect.
Okay. Even with Yosef, you know,
yeah. Well, there even Chazal argue among themselves whether the Shvatim were Chotei or not. Mm-hmm. That's a major machlokas in the Chazal. It's not. It's something which is up in the air.
I think we have to learn a lesson, you know, about treating our own children, not playing favorites.
Yeah, but that's a separate issue. In other words, there's always Musar Haskel you can learn from the Chumash, but that's not the same thing as Pashup Shat in the Chumash. But there's two separate issues. How to learn Pashup Shat and Chumash, and that we need the Midrash Mark to tell us. Besides that, one can always use any good piece of literature, Lahavdil, to teach you a good Musar Haskel. So the Tanakh, being the ultimate good literature, can be interpreted in order to teach you a good Musar Haskel as well. But when we learn Musar from the Torah, we often make the mistake of thinking, well, just because I learned this Musar Vart from the Torah, that must be Pshat in the Pasuk also. It's not necessarily so. All right, now, again, the culmination of these things for good was Yaakov Avinu, was Shais, who came and took the true negative trait of Hevel, negative trait of Cain, and combined them and made them good. And for Pishdon and Semer, for wool and linen, when is it used for good? In two places. In Tzitzis, when it's allowed to have Tzitzis made out of wool and linen together, and in the Big Day Kuna. Big Day Kuna, there was the belt of the regular Kohen, and other begotten of the Kohen Gadol were made out of shatness. Okay? Now, I haven't explained it yet. I want to explain it in a few minutes. First, let's say I want to see a little bit of the Michta Melio here. The Michta Melio says that, just to sum up what we said till now, Shtei Midos Yikar under shatness. Shtei Midos Yikar is by them. There are two primary traits in a man, Gevura v'chesed. Gevura he bechinas eats dam tzemus. Gevura is the aspect of concentration and constriction. El atzmo to within oneself. Imishtamish ba adam letzadarav, a person uses it for evil, hainu klapei chutz, in other words, versus other people, harei shoshatula, this is the source of taking from other people, hagzela of theft, achzorius, and cruelty. Achim muzog alav chatov, klapei atzul, a person merits using it for good, vis-a-vis himself, mishtamish ba liyor shamayim, a person uses it for your shamayim, ushfiras yates, and breaking his evil inclinations. Hamishtamish begvura levad, somebody uses gvura by itself, he's in danger that he will go to the side of bad. Therefore, he has to sweeten the gvura. By using his gvura in the manner of chesed shebegvura, in other words, that zir shamayim shelo tachrichera will force him lasok bechesed to deal in chesed as well. Okay, that's using the two together. Similarly, I'm skipping to the next paragraph. Mishu v'dasu chesed, somebody whose trade is chesed adayin tzorchul gvura, still requires gvura. Because without gvura b'sakana, he's in danger. She's chasedi mitzor. He's going to do chesed with his yetzara. Deepo utamatavos, and he'll fall into the pit of taiva. Harimotzano parshas arayis. He found an arayis by a brother and a sister chesedu. Hainu chesed the tuma. This is chesed of tuma. Now look at this. Hapizgama amami omer. The popular saying. I never heard this popular saying, but I guess it's popular in some places. It is mishenoch mimidos. Somebody who has pleasant midos, midos tovos, who bow taiva. Is a person full of lust. Why? Hainu mishum shemisha noach b'midos b'tivo, somebody who's easygoing and has pleasant midos, naturally, believe because of gvura without the check and balance of restraint, b'derech klal yegam noach litzo, normally will also be pleasant and easygoing with his yetzahara. Kidei shachesed shlo yeh zach b'kdusha, nor that his chesed should be pure with kedusha, mukhra shishtamish kam b'gvura, you have to use gvura as well. Vainu gvura shebechesed, and that's the gvura within chesed. Perush, in other words, yira, that you should have fear, l'shomra mi'chesed u'tumah, to safeguard his chesed from getting involved in tumah, in lust as well. V'yeshol b'china b'chesed u'tumah, there's another way of chesed of tumah, hain misho evis atzmo, narcissism, a person who loves himself. V'osa chesed, k'dei shi'agish ma'as atzmo, and does chesed, not for himself, he gives money, for instance, very, very publicly, in order to feel, boy, what a great person I am, that I give much money for tzedakah. Whom he's glad to believe when he gets haughty in his heart. Or a chesed nigleh sichlo, he has the light of chesed in his mind. V'laigam show someone maybe he feels like about chesed. Avalocha dar pnimis libo, but that's not chesed in the depths of the heart. Adayin a like siv, he's saying, I want it for myself. Shu hefech tochen a chesed amit, even though he's giving money. He's doing chesed with his money, he's giving millions of dollars. But he's really not doing it for the purpose of true chesed. He's doing it to make himself feel good. He's really taking for himself by giving tzedakah to somebody else. Okay? So, let's skip down to chesed gvura and kain in hevel. In the last two paragraphs here, lefiza navchin, we can find b'shor shchet kain, that the chet of kain b'shoyah b'chinas b'gvura levad was that he had gvura in and of itself, liam talk without being sweetened. V'akein lo niskaba korbono. And therefore his korban was not accepted. Why? Shari token korbono, the essence of his korban, the content of it, huayo sharotu l'chasos al chesroi noisof, he wanted to cover up his shortcomings, b'mach nosen esame yutarlo, in that which he gave the excess which he had, m'pri adoma, says Rashi, mina garua, from the worst of his crop. Together, and this is the definition of zevach rishoyim. The korban rishoyim toeva is repulsive. Aval hevel hevis korbanu mitzad chesed. Hevel brought his korban out of chesed. In other words, Cain wanted to remain distinct from God, and this is kind of like appeasing God. He said, you know, I want to follow my own agenda in order to appease God. You know, let's give God something, whatever I have left over. Now I bring his korban to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel, on the other hand, Hevel's korban mitzad chesed, he wanted not to be separate from God and just appease him, but he rather wanted to have this dveikus in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to feel close to God. Kishov l'ruchnius, he wanted to be a spiritual person. Avahoya b'li tikun b'toch p'nimatz muso, but he's just trying to be spiritual without fulfilling within himself the proper rectifications and corrections. Vayinu k'ein geder chesed shematuma v'kanal. And that's all like chesed shebetuma, like we mentioned before. In other words, his closest to God was without making himself a better person. You can't just go and try and be close to God. We know a lot of people like that. People who one moment are very close to God, and the next moment they're going and transgressing averus. And it's not a contradiction. They're very spiritual people. but they're very spiritual, involved in whatever brings them, like we said before, a person can be a big Baal Midos and be a Baal Taiv at the same time. A person can be, have great lust for spirituality and a great lust for Averus. And although we perceive it as a contradiction, he doesn't perceive it that way. That's Chesed Shemetumah. Nonetheless, very interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoal LeHevel Minchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Hevel as Mincha. Why? Bevchinas HaShochin Yitam B'toch Tumasam. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu draws the Tam Yisrael even in their Tumah. Mashenkin B'Kain, supposed to Kain. Ki Ba'al Gaiva Namar, Ein Aniva Hu Yichol Madur Bar Lamecha. Ba'al Gaiva says, I and he cannot live in the same world. Now, so Biggie Sotar Tzadik says all over the place. He says that the more natural Yetzer for Jews is the Yetzirah of Taiva. The more natural Yetzirah for Goyim is the Yetzirah of Kina. And therefore, by Jews, some Taiva is to be expected. That's why Jews are big Baal Chesed. By Goyim, on the other hand, Kina is to be expected. That's why you find murderers much more among Goyim than you do among Jews. Now, why is this so? Because lust is inherently necessary for the quest for the spiritual. To have a drive, to become close to other things, hopefully spiritual ones. It's just unfortunately sometimes we use the lust for the improper purpose. But the point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted this trait within Am Yisrael, and it's closer to people who have this trait, Hevel, than people who have the other trait, Kain. Now until now we explained Gvura and Chesed, now in a moment we're going to get down to the actual Pishtun and Semer, the actual linen and wool. But first, let's see important Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik says here on the top, in the second column, in the Orzor Rulat Tzadik, Ubir Doviz HaKeyadu, and the explanation of this matter is as follows, and it's not important what he's come to explain. Mashakosav, Shakosav, Rambam Mor Nevuchin, that which Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchin, Tamiya Mitzvah Shaniz Galulo, that the logic for certain mitzvahs was revealed to him. Al Pi Masharoah B'Sefrei HaTzaba, Hakamoni, based on what he saw in the ancient books of Avodah Zarah, Michukei Avodah Zarah, from the rules of Avodah Zarah, V'roah Sherova Mitzvahs Heim L'Negdom, and he saw that most mitzvahs are to oppose Avodah Zarah. Ayin Shabaroth, look there in great detail. V'emes HaDover, it's true. Avol Masho Sasiba, but that which he made a cause, whom Suvav is really in effect. Ki Inyon HaTorah, because it's not that the mitzvahs came to eradicate Avodah Zarah, but rather, we have, in other words, that first came, let me rephrase it. It's not that Avodah Zarah is the cause, and the mitzvahs are the effect. In order to combat the Avodah Zarah which exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs. No. It's the mitzvahs which come first. The mitzvahs are the cause, and the mela of the Avodah Zarah is fought as a result. Okay? In other words, he says, it's not pshat that the mitzvahs are coming to separate us from Avodah Zarah just as an act of separation. But rather, the mitzvahs teach us how a person is supposed to behave. And that's why mitzvahs are not important for the first 2,000 years or so of creation. Mitzvahs weren't given for the first 2,000 years. Why? Because in order that everybody should know how to behave in his children. This is Al Korchach, rather. Kinosa Shemiz Baruch Olam Kosh Baruch Hu placed Das in the world originally by the intellect. Really, man should have been able to make do with the intellect. Why? Man created was created with a seichel to use. What's the seichel supposed to be used for? To find a Kosh Baruch Hu and do what a Kosh Baruch Hu wanted. It says about the Avos fulfilled the entire Torah before it was given. Why? Because they had the right type of seichel. They had a mind which was really rational in the way God wanted to be rational. Therefore, they didn't need the Torah. They automatically knew everything. It's just our generations later on became so unintellectual, we lost the power of intellect that we needed the mitzvahs to take the place of what the intellect would have done for us. Now we have the Torah and mitzvahs in order to bring us close to Kosh Baruch Hu, in order to make us holier, and mimela we won't worship Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here's a way of achieving closest to me. Where you want a higher madrega? Your intellect would have brought you to this. If you're not on that higher madrega, I'll give you tangible, physical mitzvahs which will enable you to come close to me. And that's what we said last week, that mitzvahs bring down the quality they represent. Each and every mitzvah was a physical activity which God gave us in his mercy to bring us close to him, despite the fact that we cannot use our mind to bring ourselves close to him because we do not have that intellectual capacity anymore. So that's what mitzvahs are for. Now comes the tzaddik and says, same thing applies to shatnez. What does shatnez represent? So first I want to go through a little bit of this one here, which is just a little bit more of an introduction. He says, four lines to the bottom of the third column. K'mosh kasuv truma kuf samach zayin sof am beis. This is from the Tzidkas HaTzadik. The kain nolad bos kuf. Kain has to do with the letter kuf. Vehevel behei. And hevel has to do with the letter hey, ayin shom. U'machloksom and the machlokes of hevel and kain. Dugmas machlokes Yosef Yehuda. Is similar to machlokes of Yosef and Yehuda. Like we said before. Kain represents givura, just like Yosef does. And hevel represents Chesed, just like Yehuda does, and it says, Ephraim lo yikane es Yehuda. What's the bracha which will happen when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mashiach? That there will be no more strife between Ephraim and Yehuda. The midos of Chesed and Gevurah won't be in friction with each other, but rather they'll merge. And similarly, Shekin kine ke kain, kine behevel, kain and hevel's kine was similar. Begam Yosef Yehuda, heb shneged shneo es yosanal. Yosef and Yehuda correspond to these two letters as well. And therefore we have the mitzvah of Bigdei Kahuna and Tzitzis, which is to bring these two midas together to use them for Kedusha. How so? Now, says the Tzadik here in Yisrael Kedoshim on the bottom. He's speaking about the Pasuk in the Megillah. The Pasuk in the Megillah says, Mordechai yotzeh mivnei ha-melech be'levush tcheles v'chur v'ater zov gdola v'tachrich butz v'argoma. Everybody remember that pasuk, right? That's right after Haman's downfall, and then it says Ayudim, whatever it is. I serve Simcha v'sasa mikor. So it's absurd. Wait a second. Tachrich boots v'argoman. Boots is normally linen. That's what boots means in Tanakh. Linen. Argoman is a color. It's colored purple. But in the Beis Hamikdash, the clothing which was colored purple is wool. How can Mordechai wear wool and linen? A Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash could wear wool and linen. The Avnet, his belt, was made out of linen. But what about Mordechai? Why Mordechai? This wasn't a Kohen. It was Ishimini or Ishihuda, depending on how you learn the Pasuk. And he certainly wasn't the Beis HaMikdash. And it wasn't the Tzitzis either. Right? Tzitzis could be made out of wool and linen, but this wasn't Tzitzis, this was a belt. So it says the Tzadik obviously wasn't the same belt. But there's a symbol in some of the fact that Mordechai was wearing wool and linen together. Why? See, by the way, you see how little Tanakh we actually know. How many of us would ever have stopped when going through the Megillah? And we've all gone to Megillah countless times and thought, hey, wait a minute. Boots and our garment is wool and linen. None of us would have thought that way. Just goes to show how little, you know, the Gra said, the famous Gra, the Gra said, you think you know Ashrei? You know Ashrei, you say it two, three times a day. You think you know it? You don't even know Ashrei. Try saying Ashrei backwards. Says we don't know anything. We think we know things. We have no idea really what things really are. Anyway, so says Reb Tzadik here, Gevaldik Vort. I don't fully understand it, but it's great Vort. He says, in the third column, after Korcha came Shnayim. It had to have been in the second line from the top of the third column. After Korcha came Shnayim, there must have been two separate belts. The boots were Pishton. Boots is Pishton, is linen. For Argoman Uchomokom Tzemer Baragol Kargoman. Kargom is bigkuna, good simmer, and our garment is always wool, like in the bigkuna. Kuna. You can eat if she takri checho legufo. It couldn't have been one wrap. Chetzio tzemer, chetzio pishon, half wool and half linen. Shu kilayim. That's kilayim. Avoli says avnei the kohanim, the belt of the kohanim was indeed kilayim. Kamosh kos, like it says in Yuma, ubekama duchtin, and in several other places. V'mechaper al hiru alev, and it says kamosh kos mitzvachim. It says that the avnei, the belt of the kohen, used to atone for thoughts which were improper. Shesha Mishkan Shnei Yitzharim. Why? Because both Yitzharas rest in the heart. Vayedeyav, because ultimately all Yitzharas are emotional Yitzharas. And emotions we always attribute to the heart. Vayedeyav, tachoger v'akorech, and by the belt which one wraps and around Saviv Alev, the heart, hemis achdim. These two traits connect. But they don't connect in the bad sense of Kina and Taiva, which equal Kovet. They connect in the good sense of Chesed and Gvura. And this is the connection of Tzemer and Pishton. Why is this important? Like it says, we just said before, that Cain brought me pri adama, the Cain zer pishna nevi. Cain brought flax seeds. Shayosa grew lakrava, which is the worst thing to bring. Why? Lakrava the gavah to bring is a carbon. Why? Listen to this. In Mishnah, pishtan is called badim. Badim literally means material, but bad always means pishtan. Why does bad mean pishtan? Because bad comes from the word levad. What does levad mean? By itself. Separate. Why? Because how does pishtan grow? Flax grows in separate stalks. It goes in straight strands within stalks of flax. That's not clear. Linen strands are strands which grow within separate and distinct flax stalks, as opposed to wool. Wool grows in clumps and as it all is mixed together on the back of a sheep. It looks completely different. It's not straight, independent stalks, but rather it's mixed together. That's why it has to be combed and carded in order to make separate threads out of it. And that's the problem with pishtan. Sha'ola bad yichidi comes up by itself and separate. V'neman, it says, Chazal tells, cherub al badim v'no'avlu. A sword should be fall on those who learn Torah by themselves. Now you should a sword fall on them, but they're stupid. Why? Because you can't learn Torah properly if you don't learn Torah together with a chavrusa, if you don't learn Torah in a group. It's not just that, though. The Kedusha of Am Yisrael only applies when Am Yisrael is a nation. Our holiness is not as individuals, but as a nation, a collective entity. What's the derech of Yetzirah? Lios peperuda, to be separate. Okay, no, I'm alone. That's why Kosh Baruch Hu said, im teitiv. If you'll be good, then everything will be good. And if not, lepesach hatosorvetz, the Yetzirah is waiting to grab you. Kulechelek ha-Yetzir, because this is from the Yetzirah. So pishtan represents gevura. What does gevura mean? Restraint, separateness. Pishtan is restrained, separate, distinct from each other stalk. Valkane, however, therefore, Kobig de Kohanim Ditzemer, all the clothes of Kohanim were of wool, with the coin god of Yom Kippur in the Pishtan. But on Yom Kippur, the coin god wore linen clothes. Why the coin god wear linen on Yom Kippur? Ki Oshim is kapim machatoim, the kashel yabinu, because then when the chatoim are pure, are atoned for, they become white like snow. Nasim Yetzihara Tov mode. That's when the Yetzihara, sir, we see how the Yetzihara can be used for good. Why? Because we know it says you should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shnei Yetzirecha. Yetzihara Tov and Yetzihara. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when he created the Yetzihara, oh, Tov mode. Tov mode. Why is it good, the Yetzihara? Because the Yetzihara also should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the right way. The Gvura of Yitzchak, not the murder of Esau, which is not the Jewish Yetzihara. The Geish Yetzirah can be rectified as well. If you use the proper way, that's what the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur represents. The rest of the year, Tzor Shmira V'Agdara Michet B'Poah. The rest of the year, we can't wear the linen because it's difficult to restrain ourselves from sinning, so therefore we push the sin away. Our Koponim. The Rak B'Lev, the Kuv Mishol, it's just a kol. It's just that the Avnet, the belt, which is corresponds to the heart, was made also of linen because anyway we know in the heart there's going to be a Yetzirah. Akuv Mikol means it's full of tumah. Shamu nechba fai de avnei. There we fight the fire with fire. We put on the avnei in order to atone. And then he goes on to discuss this in greater detail. So we see what pishtan is. Pishtan. Oh, and of course he explains how Purim, which is the holiest day of the year according to Reb Tzadok, is mechaper and brings together the boots and our garment. All midos are used for good, but not for today. It has to do with Haman being Amalek, being Esav. A different time. The point is that's the Midah Pishtan. Alright? Pishtan is alone, it's separate, it grows in single stalks. Now that's by the leaders of Am Yisrael, on the other hand, were almost always shepherds. They almost always had to do with sheep. Sheep always grow in, were they herds of sheep? In flocks. Flocks of sheep. They always go together. Flocks, they don't go by themselves. They're not individualistic animals. And the Tzemer itself is always, like we said, tangled together. So leader of Am Yisrael has to be able to bring cohesion. He can't be a linen type person. He has to be a wool type person. Now, let's get now into sheep. It's a very interesting medrash. Turn the page. Sotah brings down a very interesting medrash. He brings down on the top in the second column. What? No, sir. Sotah says two separate belts. It wasn't Tachri, Boots, Varagam, and one together. It couldn't have been. He says that's been two separate belts.
But how does that evolve from what you're saying? Does that come into...
What?
To Gvur and Chesed?
Yeah, well, that's what he goes on to explain. I said it has to do with Purim, but how Mordechai was vanquished Haman, which represents Amalek, which represents, of course, murder. And that's what Amalek wanted to do to the Jewish people from the beginning of time, right? So Mordechai represents vanquishing the trait of Pishton, the trait of Cain, through the trait of Hevel, right? That says, of course, that the way that they brought everybody together through tshuva is Lech Knos is Kol HaYehudim, bring all the Jews together. In other words, the power of the Achdus of Am Yisrael, bring all the Jews together to fast 3 days, night and day, overcomes the power of, on the other hand, the pirud, the separation of our enemies who come to destroy us. Okay? Yeah.
Shatness.
Yeah.
The actual shatness.
Actual shatness, shatness.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Well.
The real McCoy.
What I really want, no, what I'm trying to say is,
yeah.
Can I wear two separate begotten? One of linen, one of wool. Shirt of
oh,
wool.
Yes, you can wear two separate begotten, one of linen, one of wool.
This is what's happening by Mordechai.
Yeah, that's a Mordechai, yes.
And the boots or anybody else.
You can wear a linen tie with a wool suit. You can wear a linen shirt with wool. I don't know if there are linen shirts.
But
a linen shirt with wool pants, yeah, that's okay. It's only
okay,
if it's one garment.
No, but you seem to be alluding here all the time that because you wear an apnate and you wear boots,
yeah,
that was wrong. That was the question that was the original
right.
question was asked.
So I'm sorry to say, if it would have been woven together, it would have been awesome. But to have two separate belts of that is one gartel of linen and one of wool is okay. Even if they're right on top of each other. Okay? As long as they're not connected in any way, shape, or form. If they're tied together, that already is a problem. To tie two garments together, one of wool and one of linen, is a problem. But if they're not tied together in any way, it's fine.
And if one rubs against the other?
No problem.
Which is all the problem?
I don't know. In any event, a fascinating medrash brought down by Reb Tzadok. Tzadok brings down here Tanchuma, in the second column here. U'Tanchuma reish parshas vayishlach. Ki otzum osei dvoro. It says that powerful are those who follow the word of God. So the Medrash Darshan, who is more powerful than the powerful? The people who follow the word of God. These are Am Yisrael, Shikdimu Asil, Ishmael said, Nasa before Nishma. Varma, they said, Nasa before Nishma. La Medcha, the teacher, Shikdolim at Tzadikim Yosem Melach Yishor. The Tzadikim are greater than Melach Yishor. Tzadikim are greater than they're bigger. Shabashua Sharma Yishayo Kish Tmeisva Saim Vukule. Yishayo said something very not nice. He said, I'm a person of which has tame lips. And I'm living among a nation of which has tummy lips. So that's not nice. That's Lashon Hara and Am Yisrael. So what did God do? He sent the Malach to put a coal on Yeshaya's lips in order to punish him, to show him he said something not right, said Lashon Hara. So it says there in the Navis, and Yeshaya says that the Malach held the coals in tongs in the vision so he wouldn't get burned. But Yeshaya, when the coal came on his mouth, he didn't feel anything. So what do you see from here? That the tzaddikim are in a greater madrega even than the malachim. Now, of course, it's all symbolic because it's all happening in a prophetic vision. But there's a message here. Tzaddikim are greater than malachim. Right? So it says the Medrash, the malach, the sorof, couldn't take in his hand. In tongues, he had to bid it. Put it in Yeshaya. He put it in the mouth of Yeshaya. And Yeshaya wasn't burnt. Now, look at this. When the people complained, that's next week's parasha, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Baloscha, where am I? 3 weeks, right? In Baloscha, when they complained, so it says that a fire came down from heaven and started smiting Biktei HaMachaneh, the people who were complaining, right? Hoy Omid Moshe stood there. U'mashkia tzipei tzemer b'oisayish. And he dropped bundles of wool in that fire. And the fire subsided in the ground. Like it says there that the fire subsided. Okay, whatever the measure is not important for us at the moment. Why bundles of wool? Why did he take water? Why wool? So says the Tzaddik, skipping over to the next column. Moshe Rabbeinu Bavishkiya Lartz. Moshe Rabbeinu came and put it down into the ground at the bottom. He rectified the matter of the misoinanim. He sunk into this fire symbolically all the powers of fire of Torah and Chochmah. Shemitivam lalos l'malam l'morom. Normally, Torah is something which is spiritual. It goes up to the heavens. L'morom shivta. To the lofty dwelling place of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bav arid elaris v'shkir sham. He brought down the power of Torah into the land. Perush. Asa shkua v'tvua sham. He brought the Torah down and sunk it and embedded it b'chol chelke maisa isha yisraeli in all aspects of the activities of a Jew. Shakua v'kosher by a mitzvah satayra. He made each Jew be immersed and enwrapped in the mitzvah satayra v'zei de tipei temer shishki, and that was by the bundles of wool. Why? Ki atzemer mechuvat. If you try and light a flame on wool, it won't light. You ever try and make a Hanukkah wick from wool? It'll melt. It'll smolder, but it's not going to burn. On the opposite extreme, linen burns very well. Chazal and Masechet Bava Kama, Masechet Shabbos, when they want to talk about something burning well, they speak about bundles of flax, which burn very well. What? Lachain, kiatzemer mechavet, if it smolders, vein answer Shabbos, it doesn't become a flame. Kama she'isa, like I said, Shabbos tavchof. That's why the nefashos of the chachamim are likened to wool. B'fi chazal, in the mouths of chazal, kol amar denachas yura v'chulei, all the wool which goes down to the pot, etc. L'fi she'ein or shel gehenem, because the fire of gehenem shusama the moisa, which is the drug of death, shebeklos shebetera, in the curse of the Torah, shel letus b'hem, cannot take hold of them. Moshe East, like it says there in Chagiga Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu had nefesh akolelos kol haChochma kula, and Moshe Rabbeinu had all the Chochma involved in him. He was the way through which the Chochma came down to Am Yisrael, and here he acted like the funnel, which was funneling the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into Am Yisrael. Like I wrote it here, Moshe was invoking the schus of Am Yisrael and bringing it down to the nation. In order to save Am Yisrael. What he was doing was twofold. First of all, by his physical act, like we said before, the physical activities of the mitzvos have corresponding spiritual impact on people. That was the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by giving us the mitzvos. Here too, by putting in those bundles of wool, Moshe Rabbeinu symbolically was evoking the chachma of the chachamim, which protects them from the fires of Gehenna. He was symbolically invoking that in order to demonstrate Am Yisrael has chuyos, you should save them, we have merit. Besides that, he was invoking it, he was doing it in order now, by this physical act, to act as the funnel which brought down through this maisa the kedusha to Am Yisrael, in order that they shouldn't be chote in this way in the future. One second. So, what happened here is that Moshe Rabbeinu was taking wool which doesn't burn in order to put out the fire. Now, wool, he could have taken water, but wool represents the Chachamim much better, because the Chachamim are represented here by the Mida, which typifies Am Yisrael, which is why Tzemer is forbidden to be mixed with Pishtan. Why? Because Taiva is always equated with water, with lust. Kina is always equated with fire, with anger. The wool here is equated to water. It has the same effect. It doesn't burn just like water doesn't burn. But the wool also brings us back to the quality of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael as one entity, which is a conglomerate entity, just like wool and sheep are conglomerate entities which go in flocks and which have wool growing all mixed up and bunched up on their backs. And that is the unique quality of Am Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in order that we should be able to keep the Torah and be the nation which receives the Torah. Since we're going to be a cohesive nation, and we're going to interact with each other, we're going to be able to fully grasp the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu by himself could fully grasp the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but each one of us by ourselves cannot. So therefore, each one of us is a part of the great machine, which is in lieu of Moshe Rabbeinu. Instead of one individual, which we can't do anymore, we have an entire nation stretched throughout generations and over many people who now are the sum entity of Torah. And that's what we say, each person in Am Yisrael corresponds to one letter in the Torah. What is the symbolism of that vart? That every person in Am Yisrael represents a different aspect of the Torah, and together we represent Teresh B'Ksav and Teresh B'Alpeh as one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten to that yet. We haven't gotten to that yet. Still building up there.
So
you're
saying wool is chesed?
What?
Wool is chesed,
yes.
Water is chesed too.
What? Water is chesed too, but wool represents also the achdus of Am Yisrael.
Water is achdus too.
Water is not achdus.
Water is not separate entities.
What? But that's the, it's not separate things which can come together. When water comes together, you can't see separate pieces of water. We want something which comes separate, like sheep come separate, but they form a flock. Or the strands of wool come separate, but they form a clump in order to demonstrate that we are individuals, but then we are together also as Am Yisrael. By water, you can't see different things. The drops are not separate when they're together. They're fused into one. Am Yisrael is not like that. We're a nation. A nation is not one block, but rather it's a whole made up of many separate parts. So that's the mile of using wool over water. Now, if the Reb Tzadik brings out another chazal here, and then after we see this, we can bring everything together. Reb Tzadik brings down a chazal which says that Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel wore clothes of Pishton. They wore white clothes made out of Pishton. It's brought down here from in the bottom by the Pri Tzadik in the third column in the 9 lines from the bottom. And it brings down there that in Bavel they had palm trees and linen clothes. And he says, in Bavel they used to wear linen, but in Eretz Yisrael it's not recorded that they wore linen at all. He says it's all likelihood they wore wool, not linen. Not because we know for sure, but because it only uses linen, it emphasizes linen in Bavel. Now it's interesting because in Bavel, we know the Gemara tells us that in Bavel, the Talmidei Chachamim are called Chovlim. Chovlim means they fight with each other. In Bavel they're called Noah. They're called pleasant to each other. In Bavel, there was a lot of competition between Talmidei Chachamim, and that's why there was a lot of depth. Why? Because when you fight it out in a base medrash, then you come to new and deeper insight. In Eretz Yisrael, they were very nice to each other. They were pleasant to one another. That's why they weren't so deep, but they were very broad. They knew a lot, right? It's almost like the difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Ashkenazim, they fight a lot with each other. So they have maybe more lumdus. The Sephardim, they're very nice to each other, and they're more bakias, right? It's an oversimplification, obviously. But in any event, the idea is that Pishton represents the Midah of Bavel. By the way, it says Reb Tzadik, a very interesting thing. He says we have, it says in Rabbi Yochanan said that in his place, in his city, he doesn't have to wear a frock and a hamburger, he doesn't have to wear the garments of Talmud Chacham, because everybody knows him. When he leaves the city, he's got to wear garments, he's got to wear the uniform, because people have to know he's a Rosh Hashiva. Right? So Reb Tzadik says, in Eretz Yisrael, the Makom of Am Yisrael, special clothes are not required. In Bavel, Michutzim Komam, which is outside our place, there we need special clothes. Now, why special clothes of Pishton? Because Tzemer is the natural meat of Am Yisrael. Why is Tzemer the natural meat of Am Yisrael? Tzemer represents, like we said before, Taiva. Very powerful Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel says, Lo avdu Yisrael avodazor el kedei lahatil en arayis. Am Yisrael, the new idolatry, is a bunch of hogwash. Why they want to worship avodazorah? In the Midbar, let's say. Because they wanted to do arayis. That was the bottom line. The bottom line was their taifa. As a rationalization for their taifa, they worshipped Avodah Zarah. So they could say, there's no God, maybe we don't have to keep the commandments of Arias. The natural meat of Am Yisrael is Tzemer. But when we're in Chutz Laaretz, we're among the Goyim. We're among the Goyim, what's the trait which is most hurtful which the Goyim have? This unnatural non-Jewish trait, the one of Kinah, the one of jealousy, of strife, of competitiveness. So we have to fight fire with fire, literally. The fire of jealousy which they have, we have to fight with the fire of Gevurah. So what do? We wear garments of Pishton, at least in Bavel, they wore linen garments, to symbolize, like the Kohen Gadol and the Yom Kippur wore the linen garments to symbolize that one can use the trait of Gevurah for good. One can be Eved Hashem even with that Yetzirah. It's harder, but it's possible, like Yitzhak Avinu did. Like Yosef HaTzadik did, so too we can worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu also with that midah. Why? We use it in order to learn a special type of Torah. We create the pilpul and the lumdus and the depths of Torah, which comes to this competitiveness and fighting and learning and aggressiveness, in order to use that trait for the good. And that's why we wear the big day Pishton to symbolize that. That's the same idea. Just like we say that the mitzvahs bring down the quality that they represent, so too activities above and beyond the mitzvahs can have that symbolism as well. What they were doing by wearing linen clothes is symbolizing, we know we're in Chutz Laaretz. We know we're underneath the influence of these goyim who have these negative traits, which are foreign to Am Yisrael. Where our midah is a tzemer midah. Like Moshe Rabbeinu used the tzemer in order to cause the fire to subside. But since we're here, we have to make the best of it. We use the chovlim, we use the strife in order to create Torah Baal Peh to a deeper extent, and that's why Talmud Bavli is preferred to Talmud Yerushalmi. Even though in Eretz Yisrael they're bigger Talmud Chachamim, they knew much more, but since in Bavel they used the midah of the Goyim, which is negative, for a positive way, they achieved a much higher level, depth, and therefore the Torah, which they generated, Talmud Bavli, was the one which we study more over Talmud Yerushalmi. Now, coming back to Shatnez and tying it all together. How do we tie all of this together in Shatnez? Like we said before, by the way, oh, one more thing. This is a cute part I thought of today. In the Midos of Kedusha, we say Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. First Chesed, then Gevura, then Tiferes. First the expansive, then the contractive, and then the combination, the merger. In Tumah, it's the exact opposite, though. We start from Kina, and then go to Taiva, and then the combination covered. If they're parallel, we should say Taiva, Kina, Kavod. You understand what I'm saying? Taiva corresponds to Chesed, Kina to Kavod, Kina to Gevura, and Kavod to Tiferes. So why is it backwards? The answer is because Chesed is Am Yisrael's more natural trait, and that comes first. We represent Kedusha, and therefore we start from that Midah which is more natural to us. By the Goyim, what's their more natural trait? What's their primary Yetzihara? Kina. So when we start, when we speak about the Midos in the negative sense, the Yetzihara, we start from Kina and go from Kina, Taiva to Kavod. So, like we said last week, the mitzvahs all are meant to bring down the Hashpah of Kedusha from Shemayim. God said, you don't have the intellect to connect with me through your minds and through your thought. I give you a chesed, I give you a mitzvahs maisius to connect to me that way. Right? I'm telling you now, it's very hard to combine chesed and gvura the proper way. It's very often that you're going to misuse chesed, you're going to misuse gvura. And you're going to have kina and you're going to have taiva. And when you bring them together, you get the worst trait of all, which is kavod. Therefore, I'm warning you, tzemer u'pishtim yachtov can be a dangerous combination. If you use the kina and the taiva and you focus on yourself, then you're going to come out with kavod, you're going to be a baal gaiva, the worst trait of all, and you will not be able to live with me. Therefore, you should know, these very powerful midos are at the basis of all human endeavor. Chesed and gvura have to be combined specifically for matters of Kedusha. And they're only valid when they combine to form a tiferes, when they combine to form a person who is constantly involved to make sure that his chesed and gvura is not exceeding boundaries, or is not making him jealous and causing strife, but rather being used for purposes of being like Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov, for bringing the purpose of causing a tiferes, a kiddush Hashem. And therefore, in order to symbolize that in the physical realm, in order to symbolize it spiritually in the physical realm, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzemer and Pishtim only go together. Those two basic materials which represent Chesed and Gevura, or Kina and Taiva, only should go together in the context of Kedusha, in the context of either Tzitzis. Why Tzitzis? Because Tchelis Doime L'Yam, Yam Doime L'Rakia, and Rakia Doime L'Kisei HaKavod, and by looking at Tzitzis, you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can realize to use the Chesed and Gevura, the Tzemer and Pishtim in the proper way. That is big, the one mitzvah in which you can use Tzemer and Pishtim. And the other mitzvah you use Tzemer and Pishtim. What's that? The Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Beis HaMikdash. When you're before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're literally standing in the Makom of the Shechina, then you will know to make sure to use your Chesed and Gevura in the proper fashion. So that's the symbolism of the Maiseh, which is supposed to, A, make us think about the idea behind it, the time of the mitzvah, and B, is also supposed to, through this chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by fulfilling this physical act and staying away from Tzemer Pishtim, except in the service of a mitzvah, that in and of itself will bring about in us more Kedusha. So ultimately, getting back to the Rambam, it's not just that the mitzvahs are to separate us from Avodah Zarah, but rather mitzvahs instill in us Kedusha, and it's that Kedusha which enables us to ward off any Avodah Zarah, any Kavod, any Gaiva, which in essence is making oneself an entity, in essence a form of idolatry, in order that we should be always subject and subjugated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and always fulfilling Ratzon Hashem.